Greetings once again to all the Grow Park Chapel family and others who are listening. This is Pastor Dale with a fifth website message to you as we all continue on this journey like no other, a journey that brings us to the end of our fifth week of stay-at-home social distancing and prevents us from gathering for corporate worship. In fact, this Sunday will set a record for me, a record I would just as soon not have. This will be the first time in my life I've missed church 5 Sundays in a row. Previous record was 4 straight Sundays that was set more than 38 years ago, and oddly enough, when I was a student in seminary. Karen and I had been married just over a year when I resigned from the church near Burlington, where I'd served for 4.5 years while in Bible college, and we moved to Winona Lake, Indiana, so I could attend Grace Theological Seminary. That was in 1981. We arrived there in July. Classes began in August, and by the end of September, I was called as pastor of Millwood Chapel, about 15 miles north of Winona Lake. January of 1982 had 5 Sundays. We had church as usual on the first Sunday, January 3rd, but we had to miss the next 4, the 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st. And that's because on 4 successive weekends, blizzards blew across northern Indiana, piling up snow and deep drifts across many of the roads. Karen and I had no children at that time, and we spent each of those 4 weekends with an older couple in our church who lived closer to our church building just in case we were able to have services. With a forecast of heavy snow and high winds looming for each of those Friday evenings and Saturdays, after my last class on Friday mornings, we would leave our 12-by-60 mobile home in Marywood Park in Winona Lake and drive about 25 miles to stay with the Berkeys, who became like second parents to us during our years in Indiana and with whom we've remained close in the decades since. Harold went home to be with the Lord in 2016, and it was my honor to preach his memorial service. Marge is still with us, though dealing with health issues. You know what I think about snow, so yes, I loved every flake that fell, watching them fall and pile up in the yard. Some of the drifts were 6 to 8 feet high across the rural roads where a barn or other building sat near the shoulder. And even though our church family wasn't able to gather for those 4 Sundays, the Brooks and Berkeys had our own small services in their home. And once or twice, some of their children and grandchildren were able to gather with us. But now we can't even do that in the midst of this pandemic. But we can be thankful for the positive benefits of modern technology. There were no personal computers or cell phones or internet or live streaming or web pages in 1982. I typed my master's thesis on a borrowed IBM Selectric typewriter during the summer and fall of 1984. How much easier it would have been with a laptop computer and the internet for research. I'm glad I can record this message on a smartphone, and Courtney can upload it to our church's webpage. And I appreciate the gracious comments I've heard from many of you regarding the website sermons over the past 4 weeks. We can't be together in person on Sundays, but we can be together in spirit. And I trust that you're taking advantage of the golden opportunity God is giving us during this crisis to access the great Bible teaching that's available on TV and radio and the internet. I watched Franklin Graham's 2-person service from Central Park in New York on Easter Sunday last week, with him preaching and Michael W. Smith singing and playing. I listened to Ravi Zacharias and Warren Wiersbe and Erwin Lutzer on the radio once again on Sunday morning. You can go to harvest.org and watch Greg Laurie's live service on Sunday mornings from Harvest Bible Fellowship in California. And I've heard some of Erwin Lutzer and Robert Jeffers and David Jeremiah and John MacArthur and Chuck Swindoll and R.C. Sproul and Alistair Begg and Chip Ingram and Greg Laurie and Tony Evans on the radio during the weekdays and evenings. Take advantage, dear ones, while you're at home of the great Bible teaching that's available on the Truth Radio Network or the Bible Broadcasting Network. And for those of you with small children at home, please take advantage of this stay-at-home mandate to spend more time with them, doing fun and educational things together, making memories while talking about the Lord and His wonderful creation and the salvation He's provided through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Tell them the story of your spiritual journey, how you came to Christ. Share your testimony. Tell of God's working in your life, how He brought you and your spouse together, of the prayers He's answered. Remember in our series on the family last spring, how God instructed the Jewish parents in Deuteronomy 4 and 11 to do just that. Talk about the Lord with your children when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk in the way. Make it a very natural thing, indeed the norm, to talk about the Lord in your home. Take advantage of every opportunity to point your children or grandchildren to the Lord. Help them to get to know their Creator and Savior. They'll hear what Satan wants them to hear from most every other source in our culture. Make sure you counter that false information with the truth on a regular basis. One of the blessings and silver linings of this dark cloud of COVID-19 is that families, dads, moms, children, are spending more time together than perhaps they ever have before. With schools closed and many businesses closed and the shopping malls closed, parents and children are together at home during the day as well as the evenings. How utterly tragic to waste this golden opportunity. Dads and moms, pray together with your children. Read the Bible together. Sing together. Watch or listen to a sermon together on Sunday mornings. Share your heart. Talk together. Play games together. Work on a puzzle together. Do yard work together. Work on a fun project at home together. Have a picnic on your deck or in your backyard. Go for walks together. Make these weeks of social distancing such a special time for your family that years from now your children will look back with fond memories and say, "You know, that spring when the coronavirus hit, I'm sorry for the suffering that it caused, but we had some really special times together in our home. I wouldn't trade those memories for anything." Dads and moms, it's in your power to make that happen. And here's another opportunity that God has brought about through this pandemic. Because of fear and uncertainty, many unbelievers are more open to spiritual matters than they would normally be. And statistics are showing that more unbelievers are listening to Christian radio or watching Christian TV programming or doing internet searches for spiritual questions than ever before. Pray with me that the Lord will bring millions of people into His family in the midst of this crisis. Pray that as spiritual questions arise in their minds, God will have His man or woman there to provide the correct answers from God's Word. We may not hear of these conversions until we get to heaven, but I'm confident that the Lord will use this global pandemic to build His church around the world. Let's pray to that end. And let's be His hands and feet to make it happen. Invite your friends or family members to listen to these and other messages on your webpage, or on our webpage, or tell them about the solid Bible teaching from pastors like David Jeremiah or Charles Stanley that's available on radio and television on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. Send them a good book to read like Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ, or a good DVD to watch like War Room or I Can Only Imagine or God's Not Dead or Breakthrough or Risen. My family watched Risen together again on Easter Sunday. What a powerful film. Talk with your unsaved family members and friends on the phone. Be alert to their expressed concerns. Look for opportunities to share with them the hope you have in Christ. I've been reading through the Psalms over these past few weeks. If you average 5 Psalms and 1 chapter of Proverbs a day, you can read through Psalms and Proverbs every month. That was the practice of Billy Graham for many years. I went back this week and watched a video of Billy Graham's sermon in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. on Friday, September 14, 2001, 3 days after the terrorist attacks on 9/11. Like many of you, I remember the shock and horror of 9/11, and I remember watching that service and hearing that sermon live. Billy quoted Psalm 46:1, where the psalmist assures us, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear." Maybe you have a friend or loved one who needs to hear that verse right now. In fact, I put that verse on our church sign this weekend. Psalm 27, a psalm of David, begins with another affirmation of God's help and protection. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom, or we could say, of what, shall I be afraid? Or how about Psalm 34:4, another psalm of David? I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Or what about Psalm 56, verses 3, 4, and 11? Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. Those words weren't written in the abstract. They're not the theoretical, pious musings of some scholar in the comfort and safety of his ivory tower. They were written by King David, a man of war and battle, when, according to the superscription of the psalm, he was captured by the Philistines in Gath, when he was in mortal danger, when his life was on the line. Indeed, David knew real and present danger throughout much of his life, more danger than we're facing now from COVID-19. As you read his psalms, you can't help but note that he is forever asking the Lord for help and protection from his many enemies. Remember, he faced down a giant in one-on-one combat when he was but a teenager. He spent years with a price on his head, constantly on the run, hiding from King Saul in caves and wilderness areas, barely escaping capture and death on more than one occasion. He led his troops into war on the front lines in bloody hand-to-hand combat, in battle after battle, with death all around him. And yet his confidence and trust in the Lord are both inspiring and convicting. When he was deposed from his throne by his rebellious son Absalom and had to flee Jerusalem for his life, he wrote these words in Psalm 3, "Lord, how they are increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill." And because of David's confidence that the Lord had heard his voice, he could write the next two verses. "I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around." Our unsaved friends and neighbors and loved ones need to see that same confidence exhibited in our own lives in this time of danger. And it is a real danger. You football fans will know the name Von Miller. Von is 31 years old and a defensive linebacker for the Denver Broncos of the National Football League. He's still one of the top defensive players in the NFL and was the MVP of Super Bowl 50 4 years ago in February 2016. When his Denver Broncos defeated the Carolina Panthers in what was Denver quarterback Peyton Manning's last game. Von Miller has tested positive for COVID-19, the second NFL player to do so. And Von said this week, quote, "If I can get coronavirus, anyone can." He said he took all the precautions, stayed at home except for trips to the grocery store, wore the mask, but he still caught the virus, which began for him with a simple cough. He urges everyone to practice social distancing and stay safe and take this virus seriously because it is for real and it is dangerous. And he repeats, "If I can get this thing, anyone can." And he's correct. The grim coronavirus statistics continue to climb, both locally and globally. As I record this, worldwide there are more than 2.3 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 and more than 160,000 deaths. And certainly those numbers are much lower than actual because of the Chinese government's cover-up and underreporting in many other countries. In the United States, the numbers have grown to more than 737,000 cases and more than 39,000 deaths. In North Carolina, there are more than 6,100 cases and 180 deaths. So please, dear ones, let's continue to be careful, to stay home except for necessary outings and no outings if you're sick, to wear a mask and rubber gloves if you do go out, to wash your hands for at least 20 seconds as often as necessary, and to keep often touched surfaces disinfected. But do take advantage of this time to make memories with your children and grandchildren, and to reach out with a message of hope and faith to your friends and loved ones. Early this morning, while it was raining pretty steady, I went out on our back porch, which is covered and screened in, with my coat, it was cool, and a cup of fresh coffee and my church directory, and I prayed once again for every one of you. Know that you are thought of and regularly prayed for, dear ones, not just by me, but by my fellow elders and by many others in your church family, your brothers and sisters. And let's all pray for the decision makers that affect so many in our country. Pray for our president and for our governor and all the governors as they chart a course for reopening our country. Millions are desperate as protests have erupted from coast to coast, demanding that their states be reopened so they can get back to work and feed their families. We all want that, but we want it to be done safely and responsibly. Our leaders need wisdom. Pray for the brave doctors and nurses and emergency workers on the front lines. Pray for the scientists and lab technicians around the world trying to develop a vaccine. Pray for the volunteers at food banks and other food distribution centers. And pray that we all look to the Lord with gratitude and acknowledge our dependency upon Him. In his sermon after 9/11, Billy Graham made this statement: "My prayer today is that we feel the loving arms of God wrapped around us, and that we know in our hearts that He will never forsake us as we trust in Him." Let that be our prayer today for each other, and for our friends and neighbors and loved ones in this present time of anxiety. Keep in touch with your family and church family. Be safe. Stay well. Call or text me if you need me. I'm praying for you. I love you. I miss you. We'll get through this together with the Lord's help. And once again, until next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.